Most of what I want to talk about this morning is going to come from the story of Ruth, but both of these passages, I think, illustrate something that God is unique about. You know, we have the story of Ruth, who was in a bad place, but she was faithful and loyal, and her life was turned around when by Naomi's planning and when she met Boaz, or Boaz, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And just a little bit about the story of Ruth. I've heard described as a love story, as a family history of David, and it's both, but it's more than that. Some of the things that I get from the book of Ruth, you have to kind of think about it as you read it. It's not really on the surface. So the background, Naomi, who was Ruth's mother-in-law, I forget her father's name, but there was a famine in Israel. And they left, they were in the area of Judah, which is on the west side of the Dead Sea, close to the River Jordan. They left there trying to go somewhere where, I don't know why the famine was, it doesn't say it, it could have been a drought, it could have been something else, I don't know. But they basically were starving, so they left there, and they wandered across the desert and wound up in the country or the kingdom of Moab. And if you go back a ways, when the Israelites came to Canaan and settled in the promised land, the Moabites were some of their enemies. They were some of the people God had told them you didn't have to be nice to. And so, you know, the Israelites, and not to criticize them, we all do this, they tended to look down on those people who were pagans, who worshipped a lot of different gods, and that's what the Moabites did. And the Hebrews, or the Israelites, however you want to call them, they would not associate with these people willingly. And what's funny to me is these are the bad people, the ones that they look down on, but when the starving Hebrews go over there, they accept them and let them make a living. So, you know, sometimes the people we look down on ain't always as bad as we think they are. But Naomi and her husband, their two sons, went there and lived. And the two sons married Moabite women because there's nobody else around to marry. And they didn't know if they'd ever go back to Judah. So they said, you know, we're just trying to make our life here. Well, a few years after that, Naomi's husband died. So she's left a widow in Hebrew society. That's a bad place to be. But fortunately, she had her two sons and their two wives, and they were looking after her. And that's the way it was done. It was the families looked after widows and orphans, or were supposed to, if there was family left. If the family refused, then, of course, they was just on the road, more or less, like homeless people. But they lived about 10 years in Moab, and the two sons of Naomi died. So Ruth's husband and her sister-in-law's husband died. Naomi's two sons died. So now you got three widows. And Naomi knew that even though the Moabites had let them live there and make a life, she was not going to likely find somebody to help her on. Because again, you got to remember, in this old society, women had no rights. They had no property. They depended on their husband, their husband's family. So Naomi's got nobody left here in this foreign country. So she tells her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, I believe is the other girl's name, said, you know, y'all, this is y'all's native country. Y'all stay here. I'm going back to Judah and see if I got some family there, and hopefully they'll take care of me. And the two girls said, and these are the people look down on now, but they were loyal to their mother-in-law. They said, no, we'll go with you. And Naomi said, no, you got to stay here. And so the other girl, Orpah, she said, all right, well, I'll do that. So she went back to her family. We don't hear no more about her. But Ruth said, no, she said. And This is the passage where these words come from. She told Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Where you live, I live. And your God is my God. She said, I have no future here. I'm going with you wherever you go. If we starve, then maybe God will, you know, take care of us then. So they went back to Judah. And, you know, so Ruth was very loyal. She believed. She had converted to Judaism. So she believed in the same God that we worship. And she believed that he would look after them if she was faithful. So part of her being faithful to God was to be faithful to her mother-in-law. And so they went back to Judah, and they found a place to live with Boaz, or Boaz. He was a kinsman of Naomi's husband. And so Naomi told Ruth, you just go and glean, you know, behind the harvest. They were harvesting wheat or barley, whatever they grew there. And she would go behind the poor people. The widows were allowed to go behind the harvesters and glean, which means you get everything that's left. Anything you find lay on the ground, you pick it up, you can have it. And actually, when Boaz saw this going on, he told his harvesters, he said, he found out something about Ruth and where she had come from, and that she was the widow of a kinsman. He said, and he found out the story of how she'd been loyal. And he told his horses, he said, y'all drop a little bit every now and then, you know, make sure she gets enough to feed them. And so he sent one of his handmaidens to go tell Ruth, you hang with this bunch right here and glean behind them. And he had told them to leave her, make sure she had enough. So they were able to, through his kindness, they were able to survive. And Ruth figured that, you know, Boaz had noticed, I mean, Naomi figured that Boaz had noticed Ruth. And so she said, I think I know a way to fix this girl up. And so she told her to go and just kind of hang around with Boaz. And what she did, and it's real cute in the story, but all that y'all can read, all that detail is not really important to it. But she kept hanging around until he noticed her. And basically, he decided to take her as his wife, which was the family's responsibility, basically, to take the widows, marry them to somebody, and look after them, and keep the family going. And so he did that. And as we know, their son, the son of Boaz and Ruth, I can't remember his name, Obed or something, he was the father of Jesse, who was then the father of David. And David, who became probably the greatest ruler Israel ever had. And then his son Solomon followed him, was a great one. I think David was probably about the greatest. And I think about that, and I think about Jesus talking about the widow, how God appreciated her little bit she gave, which was all she had, rather than the people with the flashy robes and everything, you know, throwing some in and make sure they made noise throwing it in. Was she just this old? And it made me think about, and the story of Ruth makes me think about, God's got a sense of humor, I think. He likes to work through those who you would never suspect he could work through. Scott taught us about Isaac, Rebecca, and Jacob and Esau in Sunday school this morning, and how they was the first dysfunctional family, and they were all scheming against each other. But God made his plan work through them, and I don't even think they knew what was going on. But you take this girl, Ruth, who was one of the people the Israelites looked down on. But Boaz had sense enough and was open-minded enough to see the value in this girl who was faithful, loyal. And I think it says she was good-looking too, which that didn't hurt. But he saw that this is not a Moabite pagan. He said, this is a valuable woman. He said, who would be worth having as a wife and a part of the family. And so David, the great king of Israel had Moabite bloodline, which later on when Christ was on the earth, this is like 1000 BC, give or take, maybe something like that, or maybe 1500, it's way on before Christ when all this was happening. But God picks the person who the Hebrews would never have picked for the most part. You know, if when Christ came and the Pharisees were entrenched with all their regulations, they wouldn't have let David in town, let alone let him be their king, because his bloodline was not right. And yet God made him be the king. You know, David is the one that went and slew Goliath, the giant of the Philistines. He was nothing but a little shepherd boy. He was like the youngest of all his brothers. Everybody thought he was like, he was the water boy. But God used him for all the great that he did. And I think God likes to use the people whom we as humans dismiss as not worth using. You know, we wouldn't pick these people. And yet God always finds a way to work in spite of our blindness, in spite of our unwillingness. He finds a way to make his plans work. And I think that's an important part of the story of Ruth. It's what I take from it anyway. God is going to make his plan work, and he so often chooses the least. You know, we as humans try to put our take on what God can do. We look at God through our eyes. We can't help it. We're human. And that's limiting what God can do. And that's something we should not do. We can't help it, but, you know, never limit what God can do. This is the God who told Job, when Job was arguing at him when he was having hard times, and Job felt like it wasn't fair. And he's like telling God, if I was you, he said it wouldn't be done this way. And God is like, how can you even say that to me? He said, I made the world. He said, and he told Job, and I'm paraphrasing here, but this is, I can't quote it literally. But God told Job, he said, why don't you sit down and think real hard and see if you can work up a hurricane or something? He said, can you do it? God said, I can. He said, so don't ask me and talk to me like you understand what I'm thinking and what I'm planning. He said, you can't understand me. And you know, we forget that sometimes, that we can't understand God. He is above us. His purpose is above us. And he so often seems like he likes to, or gets a kick out of, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's like he gets a kick out of working with the ones who we would never choose to work with. You know, like Jesus said one time, whatever you do to the least of these people, or the least of my followers, he said, you're doing to me, whether it's good or bad. So, you know, we got to remember that Boaz did the right thing by Ruth, who was somebody that most of his society would look down on and reject. And yet Boaz was able to move past his personal feelings and prejudices, and he helped God's plan move along through this girl who was a nobody. I think that is one of the most amazing things about God, is he doesn't think and work the way we would, but he makes it work when we can't make it work.